Welcome back in the studio for the 30th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix Live at Woodstock. I'm Redbeard. Hendrix biographer John McDermott reminds us that the Woodstock Festival, whose legend has grown to mythic proportion, was probably viewed much more pragmatically by Hendrix.
Well, I think the thing about Woodstock that's interesting in Hendrix's career is that he was the artist they had selected to close the festival. He was debuting a new band, and, you know, it was somewhat of a risky venture for him. But I think that it was something that, you know, he did not place a great deal of significance, like many people did not, until Woodstock actually happened. And I think that, you know, the movie, for many people, made it seem as if there were a 500,000 people there and that it was, you know, an incredible performance. And, you know, that really stoked the legacy of Jimmy at Woodstock. And I think that what we've tried to do with this record is realize that, you know, hey, he didn't get on until Monday morning when many people had already left. He was with a band that, this was their first major performance. And so there were moments where things, you know, weren't as cohesive as they were with the Experience. But he was trying material that he had never played with the Experience. So there's something to be said for that. So it's a fascinating performance. I will say that if you listen to this particular performance, you hear arrangements and soloing and playing that Jimmy never really played ever again. Certainly not with those players, apart from Cox and Mitchell, who he played with in 1970. But he never played with a big band concept like that ever again.
Son. You don't care for me, I don't look care about that. You got a new fool, I'm not just like that. I've only one itch and desire. Let me stand next to you. Let me stand. Listen here, baby. Back is so damn crazy. Hey, your mama ain't home and ain't mama, son. To play with me and you won't get burned. I've only one itch in his eye. Let me stand next to you. Oh, let me stand. I ain't gonna give you too much time. Oh, we roll. Let Jimmy take off. Talk about me.
Jimi Hendrix Live at Woodstock with Fire, performed Monday morning as the sun rose over Max Yasgur's farm, the site of the original Woodstock Festival. According to Hendrix recording engineer, producer Eddie Kramer, it's a miracle that this recorded icon even exists.
When I arrived there on that Friday morning at about 5:30 a.m. and saw the sun come up over an incompleted stage with the scaffolding still going up, and I thought, there's no bloody way in hell that this thing is going to work. and I realized by 12 noon that we still weren't on the air. And particularly when I walked out into the audience of about, must have been 200,000 by that point. That's my rough guess. And I went to where the PA was going to be operated from. And it was still being worked on. The console was up in the air. Smoke was pouring from it. Guys were soldering wires, and I thought, you know, there is just no way we're going to get on the air. But eventually, we did. By 1 o'clock, I think Richie Havens opened up, as you well know. But there was really a sort of a spirit of adventure and what the hell? We're in this now. We might as well just stick it out.
Bass player Billy Cox reveals one of Jimi Hendrix's techniques that was both practical and brilliant.
We tuned at half a step down, which enabled him to reach some of those notes and bend the strings in a particular way. Now, I questioned that. And then he said, remember how we... Oh, yeah. We've only got two instruments on stage. Then at Woodstock, we had Larry Lee. So we didn't have a keyboard or horns or strings. So we could all tune down to E flat with no serious ramifications. His vocal range in a pocket that he could control, at least a half step, that goes a long way. It made his strings a little more pliable, whereby he could do a lot of bending. Because the standard tuning, they're a little stiff. He had huge hands. He was an exception. He was born to be a guitar player. Large hands. His hands were incredible. He could have been a basketball player. Could palm a basketball. Easy. He was born to be a guitar player. He was born to be Jimi Hendrix. And I think he knew that. He knew he had that edge.
Meanwhile, back at the Woodstock stage on opening day, Hendrix recording engineer Eddie Kramer reported that conditions were state-of-the-art. As long as the art was finger painting.
It was a disaster right from the beginning in terms of the practical and technical aspects of things. They had built a circular stage, which was divided into a semicircle, i.e. the front half of the semicircle would be the first band, and the back half would be the second band, and the whole thing was on wheels. So you would pivot the whole thing and swing it around after the first band had finished. They did that for the first band, and all the wheels broke in the first turn. So that never happened. The communications between the truck, which is where I was in a tractor-trailer truck, in the back end of a tractor-trailer truck, in a sort of a 10 by 10 area, with two 8-track machines, both of which were in orange crates to support them, a 12-channel console with three Shure mixers, and virtually no communication with the stage. So it was done by hand signals and people running back and forth. It was kind of crazy. I just remember I ran out at one point to see the audience and to see what it looked like. I think this was late in the afternoon of the first day. And it was just a sea of people. By this point, of course, the fences had come down. We must have been 350,000, 400,000 people. And I was standing next to a gentleman who I had tremendous respect for, named Bill Graham. And he turned to me and said, you know, Eddie, if these kids riot, we're dead. I said, thank you very much, Bill. I'm going back to my truck now.
Here we go, baby.
Another long-lost gem, Lover Man, from Jimi Hendrix Live at Woodstock. When we return, you'll hear the previously unreleased encore from Hendrix performed as the final song of the historic original Woodstock Festival 30 years ago. I'm Redbeard, and you're in the studio for Jimi Hendrix Live at Woodstock.
There once lived a rock star named Thorax who mooched constantly from his manager, Trixie.
Who wants your milkshake, Trix?
No, Thorax.
Or that pie?
Yours.
Oh, how about your pack of Juicy Fruit?
But when it came to the sweet, tempting Juicy Fruit, Thorax's mooching crossed the line.
Yeah, I want my Juicy Fruit, so mess off!
Trixie advised, adding,
get your own, beggar boy!
And so Thorax learned Juicy Fruit is the gotta-have-sweet gum. And when you gotta-have-sweet, you gotta-have your own pack of Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
Sometimes long-lasting makeup can last longer than you do. Luckily, Biore is on the case. Use the Biore facial cleansing cloth and makeup comes off when you tell it to. Biore cloths have special hydroweave fibers to grab up dirt, oil, and makeup. No rinsing, no water. Just absolutely clean skin. Anytime, any place. And to really clean up, look for Biore facial cleansing cloths at Walgreens and get up to $6 back by mail on Biore products now through August 28th. Biore. Clean. Honest.
Introducing Mach 3 from Gillette, the first triple blade shaving system. Mach 3, three blades specially positioned to shave progressively closer. You take one stroke, it takes three, so you don't have to shave the same area over and over, which means less irritation. Mach 3, three blades, fewer strokes, less irritation. Mach 3, only from Gillette.
Today on board the aircraft carrier
USS Enterprise.
Character was forged.
Valor was commended.
Worlds were discovered.
Honor was defined.
Courage was found.
Commitment was sealed.
What did you do today?
In today's Navy, you can get up to $40,000 for college, plus a signing bonus if you're qualified. Visit NavyJobs.com or call 1-800-USA-NAVY. Let the journey begin.
Paid for by the U.S. Navy.
You are listening to the SFX Radio Network.